Welcome to Visionaries Global Media, your number one source for podcasting entertainment.
I'm Matt.
And I'm Alex.
Welcome back to the Game Junkies podcast. On this week's show, we actually have something very big to talk about. We'll be joined by Chris from Chris Talks Games later on to discuss the new Xbox Series X and Xbox Series S. But before we get to that, we're going to talk about some news. So, Alex, you've got something that's clearly come into your head. What's up?
Mass Effect Legendary Edition.
So this is something that if you're a long time listener to the Game Junkies, you'll know how much Alex loves Mass Effect. So Alex, for those of us who missed this story, fill us in.
So on N7 Day, which is obviously, as you just heard, N7 Day, to go off of Mass Effect. Basically, on that day, they announced that a Mass Effect Legendary Edition will be coming to the new consoles in spring 21.
That's like really soon.
And if you watch the teaser trailer, it looks so, like, graphically improved. I'm just beyond excited to be able to play, more specifically, Mass Effect 3, because in my opinion, that's one of the best ones. To play it with the graphics improvement that was shown in the trailer.
Yeah.
I just can't wait. It's as simple as that. That is probably going to be my game of the year. Easy.
Well, thanks for 2021, thankfully. Having dabbled in Mass Effect, I can say that I'm very keen to see what the new version looks like. So my news, though, is about games which are due out next year as well, actually. Now, obviously, on this network, we like to talk wrestling. AEW, which means nothing to you guys, so bear with me, okay? AEW have announced several games, a mobile game and one for consoles, coming out next year. With Yuke's, the guys behind the WWE games. And I can't speak for everybody out there, but most of the fandoms have the same opinion. It's rubbish. That's not to say that it's going to be the best or worst of next year. I mean, a lot of AEW fanboys, I'm going to start like I'm got back with, well, aren't I? Are going to think that it's the best game, but... has ever been produced, and the WWE fanboys who all say it's terrible. I know what a good game should look like, and not like PS2 graphics is the answer I'll use. I think it looks tacky, it looks really blocky, it looks like people are wearing body suits, which is not how a simulation-based wrestling game should look. Now, I'm aware that you haven't played these wrestling games in the past.
Nope.
But, bear in mind how much I trashed it last year, WWE's one. That's the sort of level I will be trashing AEW's game if it looks like this when it comes out. However, as Chris asked me the other day, will I be getting it? Not if it's free. No. Is the answer. Yeah, I'm being heckled at this point.
Chris, go away. You're not meant to be in the show yet.
No, at this point, he needs to come in.
Everyone, welcome Chris onto the show. Welcome back, Chris. How have you been?
So, yes, I couldn't listen to Matt carry on like that.
Yes, we'll go on.
He has missed some really big points.
Don't always.
They have about the WWE No Mercy director, No Mercy is quite a new respected wrestling game.
Which is nearly 24 years old.
Is this still not regarded as one of the best wrestling games?
Of its time, yes. It's time. Yes, in the same way that GoldenEye doesn't hold up against the modern day shooters.
Yeah. Well, you got a Polish director. Yeah. You said they want to prove themselves.
Yeah, they proved they aren't. It looks terrible. It looks terrible. What part of these pictures look good? Have you seen the pictures?
Yes, I have.
And your thoughts?
I've heard lots of people commentary on it. And they have stressed it's very early development footage.
If it's coming out next year, I don't know how late it's going to be coming out next year, if that's the case. But that doesn't look good.
We have October and November time, same as the
It don't years. Look good. It looked terrible.
Yeah, the question I asked Matt when he going about it, is it purely just because of the fact it's AEW? And he went quite quiet like he has us now.
My anti-AEW, I'm saying it in air quotes, to one side, it doesn't look good. I would be just as critical as I was about the WWE game. It looks very, very poor. Yukes know what they're doing. I don't know what's going on here, but it's something doesn't look right. It looks, if that's for current gen now, it's not good. It's my personal opinion.
As it's also going to Switch, so I think it's more than 360 and PS4. No, that's what
problem. 360?
Yeah, no, not quite that far. Xbox One and PS4.
Even for Xbox One and PS4, yeah, not good.
Anyway, now I've barged in and said my piece. I'm going to let you guys
Yeah, you got to play Mario. Right, okay.
That was the end of Chris. You will see Chris in a later segment of the show.
Yes, okay. Something else that we that came to our attention is that Codemasters has been taken over by Take-Two, of course, as well. So that'll be interesting to see what happens with that, because obviously Codemasters' main thing is doing. Are you going to continue to heck on my news? Seriously,
it's factual stuff.
You have your own show for this.
This is literally why we don't get anything done. Matt is the problem here.
I think I found a late Christmas cracker edition.
There's a factual point. It's just the fact that they're being taken over. They haven't been taken over.
Because
the deal hasn't completed yet.
Barring anything going wrong, it's happening. Anyway.
To be fair, it could be like Skybound Games taking Telltale Games. That took forever, that did.
It
could be like that again. Like that was. It's probably just because we were waiting for The Walking Dead, but that just took way too long.
It did take a long time, but this is quite a good deal for Take-Two because obviously Codemasters have several very big IPs. The Dirt franchise, for example.
Right.
And they've got the hugely popular, hugely well-selling the F1 franchise. That's quite a big one to get on their books.
Oh, fair enough. So what you're saying is, what is in like the F1 games, like 2020, 2019, that F1 game?
All of them, yeah. Codemasters have had a license since about 2014, yeah.
So what you're saying is, rather than getting one every year, it's now going to get one about every 8-9 years, and then we're going to get an online version where they just update it and add more F1 cars.
Do you know what? I think I generally think this in general regarding sports games. I generally think that they should have that sort of model in general. I mean, unless you've got a major piece of change, why not? I can see all sports games going on. I mean, I've discussed it with Chris in the past because, I mean, this year's FIFA, which you know interest in, I know.
But,
yeah, but as someone who plays it every year, this is the first year they've had some big, big changes on the software part of things. Yep,
sorry, 60 FPS, but it's still the same shit.
Alex, I'm pretty sure that some people would say the same thing about Valhalla. It's not, it's beautiful.
Well, they're wrong.
Alex, people can have different opinions, okay? I happen to like
the most opinion is wrong.
In any case, I'm just saying, as anyway. I think maybe have you got any more news to discuss, Alex, or shall we just go straight to the next segment, shall we think?
Yeah, I think so. Let's
Right, compose yourself, dude. I'm Peterson.
I mean, to be fair, FIFA literally... Does Chris play FIFA games?
I played it once on the PlayStation and then fouled the keeper about 10 times, so I got sent off and disqualified from the match.
Chris, do you agree with me that it's the same shit, different year?
Especially the Switch version, yeah. Games. The Switch version is embarrassing.
I actually was on your side as well, by the way. You just tore me down. I agree that's the way sports games will be going in future. Just to improve the roster and to also
You can improve a FIFA game.
Yeah, millions upon millions of pounds.
I'm not talking about EA, I'm talking about sports game general, the F1 one. I can see the F1 one in general, new tracks, yeah. You know, that's
the thing. As long as EA has FIFA, that's gonna happen yearly.
I don't agree with that.
But... F1, I can agree with new tracks, new cars. But trying to improve FIFA is like trying to justify a well done steak.
Well, some people like well done steak. They're idiots.
Those people are wrong.
They're idiots, in my opinion. Just for record, who is it we know like well done steak? Am I thinking of someone?
Mum has well done steak.
So. Ah, okay. The mother and daughter. Okay, I bet I'll repeat this in front of her. Okay. But in any case, moving on to our main section of today's show.
Yep, moving on to the main section, we have Chris on today. Welcome back, Chris.
Hello. Sorry about my unscheduled interruption earlier.
Will be the first time, won't be the last. Right, okay, so obviously, you were very gracious and had us on your show last week. So we wanted to return the favour and have you on this week because it's been quite a big week. In the world of gaming, yeah. Obviously.
Today we're talking about the Xbox. we got the Xbox. We couldn't get the lame station on, so we're just going to talk about the Xbox this week.
Yeah,
I think it's pleasure to find Dodger out in the UK last week, anyway.
Yeah, I will say for the benefit of the tape, we are not sponsored by Xbox. We have all.
We wish.
Yes, yeah. But we have. we did. All of our consoles we're paid for with our own money, so these will be our own critical opinions. Okay.
As much as we'd like to do a PlayStation versus Xbox, we can because when the pre-orders came out in this country, basically 90% of us was asleep.
Yes, and bots snatched them as well, which was embarrassing for them. Right, so the first thing I want to go down a little bit, obviously, if we all had Xbox Ones, obviously. Obviously, we can make, and obviously, in the run up to the consoles coming out, there was an update to the hub, to the UI and everything. I don't know how recently you played your Xbox, Chris. I should know.
I played a couple of days before, just because I wanted to play Avengers. And
quite a big update to the UI, which when we fired up our Xbox, of course, it's almost seamlessly the same, which. It makes it feel relatable. You know where everything is. I like that, in a way. Pretty much like how the PS3 and PS4s was the same. Or similar, anyway.
Yeah, I think for me, I kind of like it when they do update the HUD a bit, because it feels like you're stepping into something new.
Mm-hmm.
I do agree with that. I'm a bit against the HUD on Xbox, if I'm honest. I like it. Everything's there and it's easy to navigate. But for one, it just feels really cluttered. And for two, they put adverts on your homepage, which just seems really unnecessary.
To be fair, it's a little annoying, but to be fair, most of the time you're just flicking between your games anyway, so you don't want to...
Something new would have been nice, but it's not like the old hub needed improving.
It's the old adage. If it ain't broken, don't fix it.
Apart from the adverts, it could have fixed that.
Well, I mean, you know, unfortunately, I don't think that's ever going to change on that sort of thing, because Microsoft need to make some money. They spent a lot of money on Bethesda, didn't they? Obviously, you and Chris both got the X.
Yeah.
Okay, I got the S. So, first of all, your thoughts on the value for money. So I think that I think personally, getting the S, I got very good value for money personally, because obviously it was 200 quid less than yours. But at the same time, I didn't get a disk drive and only half the memory. But at the same time, I don't feel like I was shortchanged. I think I got my value for money personally. So what about you two? Just stop, Chris, seeing as he's the guest.
I think for me, the fact that I'm on your access plan is the only reason I've got an Xbox right now, or a Series X or S right now.
Yeah.
If it wasn't for your access, I wouldn't be able to afford to step into the next gen. Not a £450 upfront cost.
Mm.
And I have to be honest, I don't know if I would pay 450 quid. Mm. It is a lot of money. It's not as good as quick, but I am finding some, I know it's going to come up a bit later, probably, like, things are not finding good. There are some niggles or issues I keep running into, which I was running into on the Xbox One.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of wish they would have got a bit of, so...
Okay.
Do I think it's worth the 450 quid straight up? Probably not. With your access, I think it's well worth taking a shot at.
So it made it more... It's certainly the better way to get in, definitely.
So it's £28 a month for 2 years. That includes your Game Pass Ultimate. It's all your online Game Pass.
So, and get access to hundreds of games. Yeah. So, you know, that's almost...
Yeah, so I think that's... Your access, I think, is ready for money, but I'm not sure whether... 450 quid straight up is.
Yeah, up front. Okay, that's a point. Alex.
I'm going to quickly jump onto the Series S, as you were saying, because, I mean, obviously I didn't get one. But for what you get for 250 quid, and considering that you don't really need discs anymore, like, I can't remember the last time we bought discs. I mean, that's mainly because we game share, but even so, it's... Digital is just easier. So I think for the slight downgrade, the size downgrade, and a £200 drop, I think the Series S is fantastic value for money. On to the X. I am going to say yes, because it's not that much more money than when the original... Well, for one, it's cheaper than the original Xbox when it came out. I know that's mainly because of the Kinect that was with the original one, but the jump from Xbox One to the Xbox Series X isn't a great jump in price. But what you get for that jump in price really does make it value for money, in my opinion.
Okay.
The only real downside to it is that, well, back when I was gaming on my Nintendo 64 in Game Boy Advance, I never thought that the screen I was playing on would be the thing holding me back, not the console itself.
You mentioned this.
I mean, I do have quite a good telly, I'll give it that, and I'm not going to upgrade, given the current climate and everything going on, but I never would have thought that the telly would be the holdback, not the console. And I think that is my only dislike about it. Is that
the console's too powerful for your TV?
Yeah, I've got an LG. So, like, what's the 4K when it's not native? You've got like native 4K, which is proper 4K, and then you've got something else.
1440p.
I'm not sure.
No, it's not 1440p. It's like narrative 4K or something. I don't know. Anyway, it's consumer 4K rather than cinema 4K. And I think that is the biggest letdown with this new generation, mainly the PS5 and the Series X, is that if you haven't got the telly to back up the Xbox Series X, there is really not a huge point in having the X. If you got, like, one I have, where it's a smart supposed 4K telly, then it's fair enough. It's where I fucked into. But if you haven't got a telly that's ultra HD or whatever, it's not worth the price point. You are better off with the S in that perspective.
Okay.
You've also got the issue of where the hell do you fit the X, because it doesn't fit under my telly, so I've had to leave it on its side, which disappoints me a little bit, because like if the button was to turn so the X was the same like way it should be, which it should have been, I don't know, it just could have looked, they could have put in more of an effort to make it look better sat on its side, because it is meant to be sat, it's meant to be sat standing tall, isn't it?
That's the only, that is the only,
it thing. Can be on a side, I've got a rubber stand, so
The stand should be able to like unscrew the stand on the bottom to give it not only more ventilation, but not to look so off when it's sat on its side.
Yeah.
So,
Doing that, someone's torn the console down, saying actually underneath the stands where a lot of the screws on the console closed are, and so I think it's keeping a lot of the screws covered.
That's fine. So, in my opinion, my verdict on it, if you've got the telly to back it up, then yeah, it's 100% worth it. But if you haven't got like a 4K or an Ultra HD telly to back it up, there is really no point in going for the X over the S. That's my verdict on it.
That's fair. That's fair. I mean, I haven't played on the X yet. I haven't had a chance to. I've been playing on S quite a lot, as Chris can vouch for. I can't make a direct comparison just yet between the two, but I'm guessing it's pretty much like for like in terms of speed.
Yeah, I'm playing it on an. I'm playing my games, 4K 60, and it is amazingly smooth. Like I was playing Forza Horizon 4 yesterday, and the jump from the Xbox One X to the Series X is unbelievable. You could really tell where it struggled when you were driving fast in the old game. But in this one, it looks better and it's unbelievably smoother, which is you notice instantly. And the load times is completely different, because on Horizon 4, it takes about a minute, 20 seconds to a minute 30 to load in.
Yeah.
And on my one now, it takes less than 20 seconds.
You were saying that about Destiny. I was playing Destiny 2 yesterday.
Yes. Chris was playing Destiny 2 briefly yesterday in the evening. And when you're in orbit, as it were, before you go to the mission, it used to take a good minute and a half, 2 minutes to load in. I think maybe 5 to 10 seconds. Maybe not even that. I think like 10, 20.
It's an incredible jump in comparison.
Well, you and me, Alec, we were trying to play some games the other night, trying to get our streaming in order. We're getting close to the to that actually being thing.
We recorded some test clips, and it's going all right, to be fair.
It's not starting to get there. We've got some more bugs to work out.
I should set up my one, really. I just haven't had the chance to, because obviously then we could run off of my one.
We'll get to that, of course, at some point. But we were playing A Way Out, which is a game which we absolutely adored on last gen. And it ran even better. There were a few times in the old one where it was a bit stuttery at times, but it ran smoothly as hell. The load time was non-existent. It was a joy. It's like, this is how gaming should always have been.
You're more or less guaranteed 60 frames a second on both of these consoles. And I think that was a lot of fear with the Series S. People were afraid it wouldn't match the X, but apart from not having proper 4K, it's not that far off on any other terms, is it?
No.
I'm going to be honest, I don't think there's much difference between the X and the S for us, because we haven't got 4K TV.
No.
We're on 1080p on both our TVs, so,
so
you probably wouldn't notice much difference between the two consoles for now.
Yeah, probably not at the moment, but I dare say in time the difference will become apparent.
And to be fair, with the Series S, you probably can't even tell the thing's on, really. I'm guessing it doesn't produce any heat at all, really.
The S, it does produce a thumb, but I mean, I actually tested it after we'd been playing about 9:30, 10 o'clock on launch day. And I think I checked about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And I put my hand above the big black vent on top. Very little heat. Very little heat. I was very pleased with it. Very pleased with it.
They're also doing a lot of older and stuff, though, so probably not the most taxing stuff, I guess.
That's probably true as well. Which
I was going to say, I put 2 hours into Valhalla the day it came out. The console runs warm, but it's not like the last console. The last console would run a lot hotter than this does.
Well, I put a couple of hours into Valhalla today as well, and I didn't even hear the fan spin up. It was running beautiful. It's a sign of a well designed console. They put a lot of effort into the cooling of them, because, which actually, I'm speaking about Alex. You had something to say?
Yeah, I just wanted to quickly say one thing, because I didn't even realise this was a thing until I was watching a video the other day, because I thought the Series S was quite a unique undone jump. Like, making the cheaper option, I thought, wow, I don't think anyone's ever done that before. I didn't even realise that Microsoft bought another 360 along with the one originally. I did not know that was a thing.
You didn't know that?
No, I had no idea that happened.
Oh. Back then, you were a PlayStation boy back then, to be fair.
Yeah, to be fair, I bought a PlayStation 3, and honest to God, it was the shittest thing I've ever bought. So it only cost me 60 quid, and it was the massive one where they tried to put absolutely every single feature possible on. The ones that were like the size of battleships.
Yes.
Like the Red Bin.
Yes, the Red Bin. The Red Bin, yes.
That thing was just ridiculous. Honest to God, that is what made me despise Sony at that point of time, because it was just awful.
For the PS1, though.
That is true.
They stripped that out for the subsequent versions.
Yes, which is the thing which is concerning, because you can play every generation on this Xbox, on the Xbox S and X.
Not every single game, but...
Not every single game.
They still haven't added Simpsons Hit and Run. That really does me head in.
Alex, I suspect that you may be getting a remake coming soon.
I would take that with a pinch of salt. Yes, they've said it, but I'm going to take that with a pinch of salt.
It'll happen eventually. Give it maybe 5 years, but it'll happen eventually. Give me a wheelchair.
Five years.
It could happen. Which actually links
20th anniversary or 25th anniversary, maybe.
Could be, yeah. It actually linked me on quite nicely, unfortunately, to the next topic I want to talk about, which is the games available. Now, a big thing a lot of people have been making a big song and dance about is the lack of third-party games at launch.
I can understand where people are coming from. But to be fair, this year has put a hold on all kinds of stuff, isn't it? Realistic.
Has made things difficult. And launching without a brand new Halo is something we didn't think was actually going to happen.
The thing is, launched without any big game. They've not got Forza. Forza's quite a big one for Microsoft to have for launches.
And Forza doesn't even have a release date, the new one.
No. I mean, yes, they've got an updated X and S version of Forza Horizon 4, which is great, don't get me wrong.
Yeah, but as I said, on my telly, it's unbelievable, the difference.
And they have got the other third-party releases, like Valhalla, which is amazing. There's no question about how amazing it was.
I'm not going to say it's better than Odyssey yet, because I haven't played enough of it, but it is incredible.
And the story's good as well. Not just graphically good, the story's good. I'd say we've got more stuff coming out. I mean, the thing for me, I bought the FIFA 21, for example, on last gen, because you get a free upgrade to the XS version when it comes out. So I installed it. I'm like, why is it only 45 megabytes? And I saw it doesn't come out till beginning of December. So I'm like, great. So I've got, I had to install the Xbox One version on my hard drive to play. But in the meantime,
that's the thing though. There's a couple of the games like the Mars Chief Collection.
Yeah.
That X and S optimization isn't out till next week.
Yeah. Which will be all over, of course, Alex, won't we? Again.
It's just a shame that didn't make launch day.
It is a shame, because that would at least have placated some of the fans, I think, because we need those sorts of games. Yeah. Don't get me wrong, especially with the All Access that you've got, of course, and obviously me and Alex have both got Ultimate as well.
As well as and game sharing.
And the game share we'd have. So
which is huge. Which is the fact that they let that happen on this system is huge.
It is. Ain't broken, I think that people will buy more games. So that's fine. But on the Game Pass, there's so many games on there now, amazing games, which you don't have to go and pay for. Some games which you may not have had, some people may not have had the Game Pass before they bought these new consoles, which is genius in a way. I mean, Doom Eternal is on the Game Pass already. And all Xbox Game Studios games are going to the Game Pass straight away.
Yeah. Going back to the point.
Even Halo is going to the Game Pass, a new Halo, isn't it?
Yes.
Anything that's Microsoft goes down to Game Pass. That's Microsoft's thing. Should you launch a new console relying on last generation's games? Either we do the graphics ups, the thing through frame rate, stuff like that.
I'm going to agree to disagree with that. Yes, it's nice.
I want to say this is like a question.
But I will answer your question with a statement that you made many months ago. It takes balls to delay a game until it's ready to release. It takes balls to do that. Heaven knows me and Alex have been through to the Cyberpunk 4 times this year.
Yeah, okay. I've been practically jumping through windows at this point.
It gets that stage, yes. You said about that woman wears a suit. Samus.
Metroid Prime 4.
You mentioned about Metroid Prime, them going back to the drawing board and starting again. They haven't exactly done that with Halo, but they may as well have done way some of the scenery kept popping in and out and things like that, which you really criticised, and rightly so, in your YouTube video.
I think it's just the whole Halo situation. I don't know.
It's a prime example there.
This year's been a bit wild. What's going to happen the years previous? Mm. I've been working on it.
I mean,
yeah, Halo just wasn't ready, was it? They shouldn't have showed it when they did.
They shouldn't have promised it for launch game if they weren't 100% sure it would be ready.
But at the same time, with some games have been pushed back because of restrictions and COVID and all that. Should they, at the risk of starting an argument, should they push the Xbox Series S and X back until games are ready for release then?
I think there's a case to argue that console should have waited till next year.
Do you think then?
And PlayStation 5, or Sony and PlayStation 5, are finding they're having a lot of supply issues.
Yes.
And because of the COVID shutdown over the summer, they couldn't get enough consoles made.
Mm.
So, in my personal opinion, I think both consoles should have waited till next year.
Mm.
They've got more units ready, more games ready.
Mm.
That's fine.
Is this a case of shareholders demanding stuff rather than.
I think it's a lot of trying to keep shareholders and trying to keep to timetables as best they can.
Yeah, it just seems like sometimes
people. It's one of those things. I think they commit so, both companies commit so hard and fast to holiday 2020.
Mm.
Whilst this time last year, it's like, yeah, holiday 2020, your new systems will be out.
Well, this time last year, of course, everything was fine, of course. People were getting hyped up, of course.
Yeah.
We've come for back of a fantastic EGX, of course, thinking, okay, next year will be amazing. And of course, no one knew what was going to happen last month, of course. But.
Of course, don't you?
But, as I say, some of the games, getting back to what we were talking about regarding the games that are available, there are some games, it does give you a chance to try some games which have been optimized for the X and S on the Game Pass, for example, which you probably wouldn't have tried before.
Yeah, but the thing for me is normally on a launch game, like console launch.
Yeah.
I end up with two or three consoles for that console, or games for that console.
Yes.
I literally have one game, which is a Series X game. And that's Tetris Effect Connected.
Well, to be fair, you could download another one if you wanted to.
Yeah, but nothing is purely Series X.
Okay, I take your point.
That's the thing, like, I don't think it's been a big. This is next gen launch game.
No, there isn't.
But
there's nothing that truly makes you go wow at this point, is there?
Tetris Effect is also technically on Xbox One as well.
I don't know because I packed my Xbox One away, so I couldn't tell you right now. I think you're the only one who's got it to unpack right now.
Yeah. Potential effect is Xbox One as well. So it's not exclusive to Series X, but that is the only Series X game I have on my hard drive right now.
The thing I found when I plugged my Xbox One hard drive in is obviously I can play all those games onto my hard drive, which is great. But what I didn't know was going to happen was, and it only happened about an hour or two after I plugged it in, was every game that was XS upgradable, they would download the full game in XS mode onto my hard drive without me having to ask. Which is good, but I had 10 of them.
Bye-bye, SSD space.
I've had to do some Tetris, like a better term, to move things across into my SSD and onto my memory card and like that. It works.
Yeah. But to be fair, on this game, the console doesn't lag in all but crash when you try to move something that's downloading.
Actually,
because it did that on the old console. While we're on the topic of SSDs quickly,
yes,
in storage, just because I want to slate PlayStation, to be honest. On the PS5, once a game is on the SSD, it cannot be transferred to another hard drive or external hard drive. It has to be deleted. It can be transferred. What is the point in that? I could understand if they had that on the older consoles.
Yeah.
But on the PlayStation 5, once the content is on the PlayStation hard drive, it cannot be moved. That's it.
I know you're talking about it, but maybe because there's more information about it.
I think Sony said they are looking into it, and this will be something they're looking to change. I think it's something they just didn't figure out in time, but I think from reports I've seen, there's a lot of reports where the actual VGU's external hard drives wasn't completely set up before launch.
For the PS5?
Yeah, they said they're going to have a list of hard drives you could use, and no one's seen the list yet, and it's out in America.
What happens if it was intentional? Like, because you look at it, it's the SSDs, the external ones that you have to plug into the PS5, the PS5 has like a built-in slot on the Xbox. Obviously, you just get the external one, you switch it into the back. But I think on the PS5, you've got to like plug in, like there's a specific slot for a specific brand that has to be put into, which isn't available yet. And they have shown prices for the new SSD, external SSDs for it, and they are quite a bit of money.
The thing is, PlayStation 5, you're not just locked to, with Xbox Series S and X, you're locked down to the Microsoft ones. They're the only ones you can use.
Anyway, yeah.
Whereas PlayStation 5, we've got a list of different brands you can use. It's not locked to one brand.
Yeah,
there has to be a certain specification, I think.
Mm. I don't mind getting the Microsoft one, to be fair.
So, to be fair, PlayStation 5 has got more flexibility of the SSDs because you're not locked to that one SSD card.
Yeah, fair enough. It just seems a bit ridiculous that in 2020 you want something's locked onto the SSD, hard drive. It just seems a bit ridiculous that you can't move it, and how it would, whether it's a mistake or not, whether it's like that at launch.
I think it's just something that Sony hadn't ironed out for the launch, so it's something they are looking at. They have said that they're looking into fixing that.
Could it be? Maybe.
I don't know, again, to PlayStation. I thought it was about Series S.
To complete on this bit, could it be seen as an anti-piracy measure?
That's brought up, actually. I think you're saying a lot of it was to do not being able to move it, was to lock it.
So you couldn't clone it.
So people couldn't clone it. They couldn't try and data mine stuff.
Mm.
They couldn't
drive
and data mine
files. Because I know, especially when we've played GTA in the past, Alex has delved into the data mines to actually find all the information about certain cars and things coming out in the past. So
which that was on PC. That wasn't on Xbox.
I agree.
But a lot of people saying it was to do with the review copies, like before they actually come out.
Just
cheap things locked away and kind of try and prevent spoilers and stuff like that.
Mm. Right. back to topic, as it were. Obviously, one of the big selling points of the new consoles is the quick resume feature. This is something which I absolutely adore. I know, bearing in mind, Chris has only got, quote, one Xbox X game, but you also have other games on there, on your Xbox Series X. So I'm guessing the quick resume has still worked for you when you've done it.
Yeah, I don't think it's been quite as... I think because I'm trying to do a lot of downloads and updates, and it seems to be ends the updating games and that for me. It seems to be quite sluggish. I don't know my hard drive. I've got my Series 1, my Xbox One stuff on. It actually, even though it's a supported brand, I don't know if it's actually doing the job properly.
It's having a few moments.
It's taking a while to load stuff up, and like, certainly showed half the games on it. It's just like... So quick resume, when it's worked for me, it's been pretty seamless, but there have been times where it's been sluggish, and I've still had this game took too long to load, screen come up a couple of times, and something went wrong.
That's definitely more sort of a hard drive, I think, though.
And that's issues I had with the Xbox One, and I was kind of hoping to move away from that with the X.
Well, that definitely sounds like it's more of a hard drive issue, unfortunately.
But it is stuff that I had on my SSD as well.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
That's odd.
I think it's throwing out updates. Well, I think it said it's ready to start. You know, when you download stuff, it says ready to start. Try starting it and nothing happened. A blank screen. Or something went wrong, or you need to install.
Ready to start always annoyed me, though, to be fair, because it's ready to start. When I reinstalled F1 2020, for example, it said ready to start. Okay. Like still installing 43%. I'm like, while you're waiting, though, play the a 2020 Australian Grand Prix. I'm like, I played that one so many times. I'll go back and play Red Dead Redemption 2 for a bit. So I did.
Yeah.
But the fact that you can have like 6 games open and they can all be from all different generations, including Xbox 360, because I tried that at the same time, you can switch between different generations on the quick resume still as well. That is brilliant.
Yeah, I think it's just because I don't even try and do too much on it, like too many updates and stuff like that, and downloads, but it just doesn't seem to work that great for me, which is
unfortunate.
There's a few times it has worked really well and the games load up seamlessly and perfectly. I've also had times where the games aren't playing ball, which is like
unfortunately, I've had a
chance. Yeah, I think it's probably, if you've got any like things you don't like about the console, that's probably going to come up quite a bit for me.
We're going to get to that in a moment, unfortunately. Alex, how have you found the quick resume working for you? Have you used it much?
No, to be honest. I've accidentally used it because I thought I closed Valhalla and then it turned back on after it was turned off from the mains, which surprised the hell out of me.
Yeah, it works. It works even when your console's completely turned off, because I've unplugged my one, obviously, packed it away, and I unplugged all my cables to move my S to where it's now sitting and plug it back in again. So cabled out and everything. Resume exactly where you left off still.
Brilliant. Yeah, like, I was playing Valhalla, and then I obviously turned it off the evening, went to bed, went to work, came home, decided to play on it again, and I played a different game, and then I thought, you know, I actually fancy playing some Valhalla. So I jumped on, this was after playing Horizon 4, I jumped on to Valhalla, and it automatically resumed me back to where I actually was.
But I love that.
The console was off cold, no power or anything.
Yeah. That's one of the things I really love about the quick resume, because at a time, I can be doing 3 or 4 different games at a time, and I can get bored of something or something, and I'm like, really? Or I'll be playing FIFA, for example, and Alex will say, for example, want to play some Master Chief Edition? Sure. So jump across to that.
Want to play something better than FIFA? I know, like rolling around in the poo.
Anyway, Alex, can you get off the hating for a second? I can then leave. I can happily leave FIFA in the state it was, pause in the middle of a match, and jump across and play Halo with you for 2 or 3 hours at times. And jump back.
Quick resume is a feature that's not necessary, but I'm not going to say I don't want it.
The thing is, it does take
It's not something I'm fussed about.
Yeah, that's true.
a lot of the SSD space that you don't get to use is because of Quick Resume.
Well, I'm using it all the time because I'm jumping between games all the time. Yeah. So I'm getting the most out of it.
Are you willing? Are you happy you lost almost 100 gigabytes off your hard drive?
Yeah. Little bit annoyed about that, but I also feel like
that's a payoff. You've lost almost 100 gigabytes on your hard drive.
I also feel like it could be a lot worse. So
to be fair, I'm more of a person who only really sticks to one game and then closes it and goes on to the next. I don't really jump between lots of games, so it's not really a feature that I'm that fussed about having. It's just it's a nice commodity, but it's not necessary to have. I think it should have been optional.
I think it's strange games. I think it's something you could turn on or off.
Yeah, like when you were setting up the Xbox, do you want to download Quick Resume? And then not only for me, I wouldn't have bothered because, for one, the loading times are so fast on these anyway, I don't really think it matters. Well, and for two, you would have saved more data.
Maybe that's something that they could look at in general for a future, depending on what people think about it in general. You never know.
But it's a nice gimmick to have if you want it.
I like it. I wish it wasn't taking up much memory, unfortunately. But I like the feature, personally. I think it worked quite well. Now, at the risk of soaking someone's fire, what are you guys having issues with, or what are you not liking about the new console? And Alex, I think we need to get a book each at this point. Chris, show what you got.
The thing for me is just like the whole storage setup and like the queue and like the download stuff, because it's not as responsive as I like it to be.
Mm.
Like, say, when you got this stuff downloading, you can press the menu button and pause resuming. It still takes ages for it to stop downloading and move on to the next thing.
Yeah.
I just wish that was a lot more reactive, especially with the power that's in the console. Everyone's saying it's more powerful, a lot more reactive, a lot more responsive, where there's a lot of tasks you ask it to do. It just seems slow still.
But at the same time, you also think that you might have been asking it to do too much in one go. Your words.
That's when I'm playing games. This is when I'm not even playing games.
Okay.
I've not got any games open. They've all been created out of. Literally, all I've got is games downloading. What I want to do is change the order of the game, downloading.
That's something that's so annoying.
It can take a little while to catch up. And like when you turn up, when you go on and you go on to my games and that thing, it still takes a little while to load up all your games.
It's a little annoying, that's
how this is going to sound a bit kind of backwards, but the Switch. Like, you turn it on, your games are there.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can scroll through all the tiles, you can go to the one at the end, you've got all your games listed.
Well, mine are.
And it's seamless.
Mine are, Nick. Well, my one.
Yeah, but just, like, it is seamless, whereas I'm finding with the X, it's always taking a while to load up your games, like your list of games.
I can't speak for the X, that's what I think. So I could speak for the S, personally.
Yeah, for me, I just think the same issues I was having, the memory and the storage stuff and the downloading stuff and the run, are still present on the X.
Mm.
It's one thing I would have hoped they would have alleviated.
We have got a patch coming next week, haven't they, apparently? Big update, apparently. So that'll be interesting what's in it.
Yeah, hopefully it will
sort a few issues
out. But yeah, there's more to the storage and the settings. And obviously, I don't know if it's through my hard drive, but the hard drive I chose because it was one of the top three in the best hard drives for Series or Xbox One.
Yeah.
So the fact I'm having so much issues with that hard drive, I'm not sure if it's the Xbox or the hard drive, and it's just
it's annoying.
It's just frustrating.
Yeah.
Especially when they're saying, oh, plug your hard drive to Xbox One games, you can launch it straight from that.
Yeah.
I tried to launch Forza Horizon 3, because for some reason Forza Horizon 4 wasn't showing up.
Mm.
Even though it's on that hard drive. Try searching Forza Horizon 3 and nothing happened.
Weird.
Like, literally nothing happened. It didn't even come up with starting a game, it might take a minute or two. It just nothing. It's just like,
that's weird, unfortunately, that's what I think.
Yeah, so it's just like, the issue is like,
hopefully,
frustrating me with the Xbox One, and now happening with the Series X as well.
Mm.
And it's just, for me, that's the worst thing. I was hoping to iron those out and have a smoother experience.
Well, fingers crossed that'll iron out with the next patch coming out in a few days when it's come out, obviously.
And when it does work properly, like, the quick loading the games is awesome. Like, Play Star Online 2 is like really quick loading, stuff like that, because I've seen one of my friends play it on PC, and the difference in load times is insane between the laptop and the Series X. So
Series X being faster, I'm guessing.
Yeah, Series X being way faster.
It's excellent. Alex,
that's my
okay. So that's your mo, is it? Alex, who's now shaving off the beard he's grown during that answer.
I'm sorry. You asked my opinion, so...
I know. You've also got a show for that. Right, okay. So, Alex, what, if any, issues are you been getting with your new X?
Issues. I agree with the download thing. I have noticed that. I mean, to be fair, I did try downloading 82 things when I first got the console.
Have you finished it?
Yeah, it's finished. It took about 2.5 days of being on sleep.
To be fair, they were some pretty hefty things, weren't they?
Yeah. So the lag in the download, I have noticed, even when there is less things on there, it still does seem to lag the same. I haven't tried the hard drive thing because I didn't really want to play games at 30 frames a second because I know the external hard drives would limit it. So I haven't really bothered with that because I am looking to get the like pre-made external hard drives for these. I think the main thing that bugs me with this console is probably the visuals, because I'm a bit of a perfectionist when it comes to that sort of thing. So
you do like the console just, shiny thing.
The console just doesn't look nice sat on its side. It looks like just a mini safe that's sat in the corner, hidden somewhere. They could have made a bit more effort to make it look nicer when it's sat on its side. Like the X button, the on button with the X, it should spin so it sits the correct way on its side, and the stand on the bottom should come off for better like air circulation. It's small things for me more than anything. I haven't really come across any big issues with the console. So it's more just the visuals in the download for me. I think while it's great and it's a good improvement to the last console, like it is a good chunk of an improvement, it could be better in areas that should have been better, I think.
Is that software reasons or is it just purely because the X doesn't rotate?
Well, I literally agreed on the download thing, which I'm pretty sure is software, but give me a minute to work out whether that's software, Matt.
It could be due with hard drive, I guess. Well, hardware is downloading onto the hard drive.
I mean, to be fair, I was meaning more cases with is it a physical appearance that they didn't like, or is there stuff on the inside the box? Because everything inside the box can be improved with patches, etc. like that. Can be. So,
the visuals of the box is my main gripe. The X should have turned. They could have put in a bit more effort to make it nicer. But
the X turning on the box would have been a sweet thing to happen. I'm not massively upset that it doesn't, because, you know...
Well, it doesn't matter on your one. Your one, you'd fit your one into your bloody back pocket, to be fair.
The thing is tiny
in comparison.
Yeah, your X is the right way up, but you lay it down anyway.
Is it?
Yeah. Yours is designed
to have stand that on its side and you can't rotate it either. So,
but to be fair, if you stood the S on its side, it'd take only a little gust of wind to blow it over if you tried sitting the thing on its side.
It's actually quite sturdy.
I mean, if we're comparing sturdy to a pencil set on its side, then fair enough. That is sturdy, but you compare it to the X or the Switch in its dock or the PS5, it's really, really precarious sat on its side.
To be fair, I think the S is...
It's not meant to sit on its side, is it?
The S is bottom heavy, though, that's what you're saying. So
when you have it on its standing up, so it's on its side,
it's weight, heavy. Yeah, it's
because you've only got the fan on the top, which is quite light.
It's weighted nicely, so it ain't going to fall.
No, I sort of disagree with that. But you can either have it laying down so the X is the correct way up, or you can have it in McDonald's speaker mode through drive through.
That's a great analogy, Alex. Right. So
what's your thoughts, Matt? You haven't said your
there you go on. Dish out for the X. dish out for the S. What do you think of the Xbox Series X Pocket Edition?
Well, that's the thing, you see. I'm not having the same sort of issues you guys are.
I mean, really to be fair, mine is more visual looks than anything. I mean, you must have noticed a download issue. Then again, did you try downloading like 80 games at once?
No, I did not.
But I was downloading 7 things. So
I had a few things downloading at some point. It was annoying that I had to keep asking install now, because to try and shove them into order, sort of thing. That I found was extremely annoying. And
I was going to say, could you imagine if the internet providers still charged for downloads?
Well, that's the thing, you see. From all accounts, the new Xbox and Call of Duty apparently have set a new broadband bandwidth usage record.
Oh, yeah. BT dropped in areas.
Yeah, it's not a shock in places, to be brutally honest.
Well, one of the downloads like that, people were saying, could they use that as a reason to introduce caps?
Let's hope not. Yeah. Let's hope not, because if they do that, they're going to have a lot of people complaining.
To be fair, isn't Call of Duty like
250
gigs?
They can cap it and charge more for uncapped.
Unfair if they do that, personally, but... Hey, say again?
Isn't, like, Call of Duty, the new one, like 250 gigabytes?
Chris, you know,
it's about 200 gigabytes, yeah.
200 gigabytes, so that's effectively...
That's to install, and then apparently think a bit afterwards.
How can a Call of Duty game be that big? It just doesn't make any sense. That's like 66% of Matt's storage on his console.
If you listen to comparison, Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild is 16 gigabytes.
Yeah, but that's 16... That doesn't.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Okay, that's fair. To be fair, but that's a bit more understandable.
Call of Duty.
Call of Duty is a small game in comparison, isn't it?
Well, if you talk about huge games, The Witcher is twice the size of Breath of the Wild, for example, and it's still only
9 gig. But you compare The Witcher to a Call of Duty game, and it's 150 gig less. How can Call of Duty possibly be 200 gigabytes?
I think it's because Activision aren't taking the time to compress stuff, and
yeah, they can't possibly compress it, can they?
There's one thing Nintendo do is they compress stuff down, and the Switch is good at reading the compressed files and expanding them.
Well,
and also Nintendo tend to localize their stuff a bit, so. You might find Call of Duty has everything for the global launches, whereas the Switch games have what they need for that territory. Mm. So a lot of the unnecessary languages or things they kind of cut out. So that saves data.
I would also say, as someone who's had the Master Chief Edition downloaded onto his Series S, but the Series S version, I think it may still be last gen version. But even so, that's still an Xbox One version of all the games on Master Chief Collection, and it's only just 100 gig.
That's huge, realistically.
That's half the size of Call of Duty.
If you want to put it in Matt measurements, 66% of Matt's Xbox is hard drive. Well, I suppose it's 65% because you get like 312 gig, don't you?
To actually say, Alex, the exact words from earlier, how is that game so big? Because it just seems like it's overly big.
Yeah.
I've got to admit, we were blown away by how good Call of Duty was last year when we played at EGX. But were either of us even bothered about getting this year's version? I wasn't.
Yeah, I don't see the point. I don't think I'd pay 65 quid for a Call of Duty.
No.
The last Call of Duty I paid full price for was the World War II. And that was worth the 50 quid.
It was good.
65 just seems too much.
But it does.
That's something I quickly want to ask you, Matt. What's it like having how much data does your console actually have? External hard drive once it's downloaded.
I do not know. I don't know at the moment, Alex.
Fair enough, because I was going to say, it's going to be quite noticeable, isn't it?
It probably will be noticeable, but I couldn't tell off the top of my head because there was stuff downloading still when I last checked it, and that was a good few hours ago. So it probably will finish down.
Because you're going from 512. You're going from a terabyte to 512. So it's quite a drop, really, when you got Cyberpunk coming out and obviously the future games, the new Halo.
I'm actually going from 2 terabytes down to 512.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah,
that's why I'm looking at. That's why I'm hoping I can try and get one of these, the new hard drive things. It's just a shame they cost so much, really.
Yeah.
Because of the technology, SSDs are super expensive.
Yeah,
Black Friday deals will be definitely
For the size of the hard drive, it is incredible what they've packed into it. So the price is somewhat understandable. It's just a shame it's so expensive.
But it will become more affordable as the technology becomes more widely available. So that's a happening with progress. Right. Based on the current state of affairs, as me and Alex always do on this show, we give a grade to what we've reviewed. Now, bearing in mind that this is before the patch that comes out on Tuesday, what grade would you give it out of 10? Chris, you go first. Currently.
Yeah, man, I'll probably give it an 8.
An 8?
So it runs the games really well. Not had issues really inside the games. It's just those little niggles.
More like the story is the issue, not the games it played. Okay, cool.
Man, kind of. Are we including the lack of games as well?
If you want to include that, yes.
Yes, I think the lack of big next-gen thing does bring it down to an 8 for me as well, yeah.
So. Okay, cool. Mr. Alex?
I'm also going to pick an 8. It's fantastic for what it costs in only being, say, £100 more than the Xbox One when that first came out, because not including the Kinect. It is fantastic value for money, but as I was saying earlier, for one, it feels a bit lazy with being sat on its side and it's a bit unappealing compared to when it's standing up. But it's also the fact that if you haven't got the telly to keep up with it, it's not worth buying the expensive one, in my opinion. So I would give it an 8. But, I mean, when the patch comes, I'm guessing performance is going to get a boost. So it'd probably go up by then, to be fair. But I'm going to go with an 8 out of 10.
I haven't seen if they have said no.
So I thought
the Master Chief Collection
patch.
I know there's an update coming.
I will give a 10 out of 10 for how they packed it though in the X. How they packed the X in the box. I will give that a 10 out of 10. That was fantastic with the whole like concave sat in the little sideways thing. That was really cool.
The package was really, really good. Me and Chris did an unboxing on his YouTube channel. Guys, if you haven't checked it out, and hundreds of you have, so thank you for that.
I watched that myself, and it really puts into perspective how small the S actually is.
But it's still really, really powerful. It'll be interesting to see if the PlayStation 5 Mini, as it were, lives up to
PlayStation 5 Mini.
Am I doing a digital version?
There is, but it's the same performance as the disc.
We cut off the disc drive. It's exactly the same size, there's no disc drive on it.
How much difference is it in price?
£100.
£100, I think, yeah.
So that's doing me like quid.
It's free. It's £449. £449 for the disc version and £359 for the digital only, which is a really good plus point for it, I think. I think because I want a PS5 purely for the exclusives, I think that I'd probably look at the digital version instead.
Yeah.
It's £100 cheaper, and I'm only after a PlayStation for the exclusives. Everything I've got, everything I want is on the Xbox. So there would be no point in buying the expensive PS5. So what fair would enough. You rate the S then? Because obviously it's under a different category, realistically.
I'm giving the S an 8 as well. The only reason getting the 8 from me and not a 9 is because, and again, unfortunately, the lack of first-party titles at launch. The game that it plays fantastically well. The launching of the games, it's almost seamless. I used to be able to literally go and make a cup of coffee in the time it takes me to actually load up Red Dead Redemption 2. It's now 30 seconds.
Yeah, and basically you got to run and get yourself a glass of water now.
Yeah, and bearing in mind the kitchen is literally next door to my Xbox, I haven't got long now, so I've got to get everything ready beforehand now.
So is that when you throw someone into the microwave, you can carry on playing?
Shut up! But one thing I will say...
There's one in the microwave.
Anyway, I'm pretty sure that I've never seen a game as beautiful as Red Dead Redemption 2 looks on the Xbox Series S. Mm. It looked absolutely beautiful.
I know it got spoiled for me, but I do think I might jump back into it and actually try playing the game, because on the Series X, on my telly, it should run at 4K 60 frames a second, if I'm correct. It might be 30 frames.
I think you're going to be very, very happy with Alex. Give it a try.
I'll give it a try, yeah. I know it opens up a hell of a lot faster. I watched Andy from That Side Xbox do it, and it unloads unbelievably quickly.
Yeah. Yeah, I saw that as well. It was good fun to see him actually timing it. So, he always streams on a Monday, and he's like, right, I'm playing it on Series X, so this is totally Xbox Series X footage for you. There you go, bang, done. But we'll get on with Red Dead 2 now.
So here's a question. Will we be back this time next year to do an Xbox versus PlayStation? Should we do that? Because that would be quite interesting. Because we're all trying to be open-minded, because we are all Xbox nerds here, realistically.
I'm being open-minded.
So I'm more a Nintendo boy, really.
You are. Being open-minded.
That's noticeable. Chris is very Nintendo-y.
If we got a PS5, it would only be the one in this house, because I have no interest in buying one each, personally, because we wouldn't be playing it much.
No, it's not like a slim in a thing. It's literally disk drive, that's it.
I don't know that is, because I'm not paying much attention to it, but does the PSVR run off the PS5?
It is compatible, and they are looking at doing a second one as well.
Then that's a reason to get one, because VR games are amazing.
Oh, that's I didn't even think of the VR, to be honest. Yeah, the only reason I'd buy it then is VR and exclusives. Because I had the PS4, but I ended up selling it because it just seemed like a waste of money.
Yeah, because
I would be intrigued to try the exclusives.
I remember when we were at Edict last year, how much you adored playing Iron Man in VR.
That was incredible. I will admit that was my first time in VR, and I don't know where I was wearing the headset probably, because I had one hell of a headache after that.
No,
VR can do that if you're not used to it.
Yeah, that's something that goes right back to the days of the Virtual Boy. It's something that they still haven't managed to get the hang of yet.
That goes back to when we was watching the Joker play Iron Man VR.
I've got footage of that as well. We can share that.
That was brilliant. I can't wait for next year, because EGX is bound to be on next year, and I think we need. I think we need EGX 2021.
I think we all need EGX 2021 next autumn, and by then things should be back to something resembling normal, hopefully. So
hopefully, fingers crossed.
Not the word, yes, but you know, optimism.
Another year of this will all be cavemen.
One week of work, I haven't saved a week, and I'm looking.
You say rough. I wouldn't agree with that. But anyway, in any case, right. So that concludes our discussion on the Xbox Series S and X. We obviously keep tuned to the Twitter channels and obviously to Chris's YouTube channel, because he'll be having gameplay up. We're going to have gameplay up on our YouTube channel soon, which we're very excited about.
Fingers crossed.
It will be happening. When? The when, not if. It's a But that could do it for now. So, what's coming up with regards to us soon? Well, Chris, what have you got coming up next week? No good show right now.
Depending on timing and you think in the editing, it'll be the return of the big game lockdown quiz, hopefully.
Yes. We've got another, that should be extremely good fun.
We're working on to that. Chad from the network has been badgering me to go on to it, so.
Yes, Chad, we've been holding you hostage over it, yes.
And Chad's like, when's your next quiz? When's your next quiz? So I might have the big boss on next
week. The boss is in session next week, yes. We're back, obviously, in 2 weeks with another good show of ours. We don't know what we're going to do yet. We may review Valhalla, actually, Alex, maybe.
You know what? I would be down for that because I'm not so much this week because I haven't had the time, but next week after Tuesday because I'm obviously recording my next Dungeons & Dragons podcast then, which I'm super nervous about.
Absolutely famous, Alex. Well done.
I've put so much work into this episode, which I cannot wait for. But yeah, Valhalla is definitely something I'd be interested in reviewing next.
Absolutely perfect idea for that one, Alex. Talking about Dungeons & Dragons, of course, if you're listening to this on the day it comes out, which is on Saturday, then tomorrow, on Sunday, the 15th of November, part one of the Edenoi finale. It's been called Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragonborn. You'll find out why when you listen in. Alex will be smirking.
That title is perfect.
The title is perfect, and you guys... out there who have been putting a lot of love behind all of the gaming podcasts on this network, especially Dungeons & Dragons. When you think about, we only started playing D&D to get us through lockdown originally, me, Alex and Kerry.
And that's become a weekly thing in one of, don't quote me on this, but isn't it one of the most popular things on the network now?
It is. And to be fair, D&D got a massive resurgence. I mean, Chris started playing it this year.
Yeah.
And he always worked nervy for him, but he's a natural. He was born.
Yeah, I mean, I even started DMing a session for a group outside the podcast, and that is the first. The one you were in was the first time I've ever put my head into my hands and just sighed. Like that episode was rough.
It was rough, but you also showed that you can improv the best of them. So you did a great job. I can say that as so,
all I can
you
are say
my, is, as my protege, like a better term. You did a fine job.
All I can say is obviously no one knows who he is. But if I can DM for Josh, I think I can get through most things.
Yeah. It was interesting. That was
interesting.
It was interesting. Yeah. Right, so that'll do us for a show. What this show. Chris, people can find your Twitter.
Yeah, my Twitter is at ChrisLewis37. On there you always also find links to my YouTube videos as well. So best way to find my YouTube is literally from my Twitter. Just please like, comment, subscribe. I'm literally two people away from 100 subscribers at the moment.
Yeah, it's been creeping up this long, isn't it?
Yeah. So yeah, people do a lot of gameplay stuff for the Series X. Like I'm hoping to get Forza Horizon going. I actually decided to play ball. That's one thing I haven't been able to get working this week yet, unfortunately.
I dare say as well, Chris will be bringing up some more Nintendo gameplay on there as well at some point as well.
Yeah, I've got some new Nintendo stuff. I've got Pikmin 3 Deluxe. So I might dive into that.
You got lots of good stuff coming, as always.
Yeah, so lots of things I can play around with. But honestly, I'm also downloading Gears 5 on the Series X.
Okay, cool.
I never played Gears 5, and a lot of people are saying it's a massive upgrade on the X compared to the Xbox One. So
it was good on the One. So if it's that,
yeah, I was going to say, I've never played Gears either.
Gears of War, the whole lot's on the Game Pass. Go check it out, definitely.
Yeah, but the apparently the graphical updates are really good, and there's a lot better frame rate. So
yeah.
So yeah, I want to give that a go and make a stream out of it.
Okay, that'd be really, really cool. Alex, you are still Spider-Bread UK, I believe.
Yeah, that's probably never going to change. I'm Spider-Bread UK, and the only person who has spider in their name who's an arachnophobe. Obviously, you can find mine and Matt's main show here at Game Junkies Pod. You can find our Dungeons & Dragons stuff at Dungeon Junkies.
Absolutely. And, of course, thank you to our sponsor, Triumph Chairs. Use the code GAMEJUNKIES, all caps, at the checkout to get a 10% discount.
Place your well-rounded bottom on a well-rounded seat.
Perfect, Alex. Perfect. And, obviously, find me at Matt.UK. And thank you again to Visions of Media for hosting this absolute collection of craziness we do every other week. Thank you so much. So, yeah, thank you again, Chris.
My slightly sane stuff.
Oh, yours is sane. You have such an easy job on your show because just talking to yourself. It's amazing. I've got to talk to him every week. Right.
That's charming.
It could be worse. You've got to roast me all week. Right. So, anyway, I'm Matt.
And I'm Alex. That guy's Chris. And we're out of here.
Boom!
This podcast is a Matt Attack production for Visionaries Global Media.